I'm going to speak about this morning is Acts 2:42. And you all know that off by heart, of course. Acts 2:42. And if you'd like just to turn there in your Bibles, Acts 2:42. Claire and I have had a great week this week. We've learned what it is to be parents all over again with a little child, you know. And it's been quite fun, actually. Well, it has for me. Probably not so much for Claire, but we've had our daughter's daughter, who's about 14 months, and she's a real live wire. And once she's awake, that's it. She's really busy. She does all kinds of things and gets into all kinds of scrapes and things. So she's a beautiful, beautiful girl, and it's just been great having her for this week. And we'll be sorry to see her go back home. Are we all there? Acts chapter 2, and we're just going to read verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. How many of you have read this verse before? Perhaps I should put it another way. How many of you never heard this verse before? There's nothing to be ashamed of to put your hand up. How many of you not heard of this verse before? Okay. And they continued. Who's they? The early disciples, the Christians, the early disciples. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And I'd just like us to read, if we could, let's just go back to verse 36 and just read the whole thing in context about the church. You know, the Lord said when we first started here in Crawley, he said his church, because his church is more than Kingdom Faith Church, but his church is going to be a church of thousands. I've never forgot that. It was about the first or the second week that we came here. I was praying before we came, and the Lord said, the church will be a church of thousands. And it's incredible, isn't it? The early church were just a bunch of people, and the Holy Spirit fell. It was poured out in answer to prayer because of a group of guys that met for prayer and waited on God for a period of time, and the Holy Spirit came and completely turned their lives upside down. They met with the risen Jesus, and he soaked them with his presence, with his love and power, and they couldn't be stopped. They were unstoppable, and they went out, and wherever they went, people got saved. And we all know the story. It's a true story that, you know, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 people saved, and many others too, I'm sure. But there were 3,000, approximately 3,000 people were saved and baptized on that day. That's a church of thousands. And it didn't take very long. And when it actually happened, it didn't take very long. So we're talking about a move of God. We're talking about a move of the Holy Spirit. And let's just read at verse 36, because this is where Peter was preaching the gospel and explaining what had been happening, what was happening, and how the Holy Spirit was moving there in Jerusalem. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And by the way, that word remission means not just the forgiveness of sins, it means the removal of sins. It means as if those sins had never been there before. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There it is. And verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children. That's to us then. And it's, if you have children, it's to your children. And if you've got grandchildren, it's for your grandchildren. And this is a promise here, right here in verse 39. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. We're those people that were afar off, that he's called, hasn't he? And he saved us, hasn't he? He's redeemed us with his blood. He poured, as Alex was talking earlier about what Jesus did for us on the cross, how he poured his lifeblood out for us. He gave his all for us so that we could be completely delivered and set free and know the liberty of what it is to have Jesus Christ and the Spirit living in us and sharing him with others. And it says, verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then, I like the thens in the Bible. Then, fear came upon every soul. Now, that wasn't just talking about people in the church. A holy awe of God came upon the whole area because of what God was doing amongst these Christians. Because these Christians had become bold. They were proclaiming about Jesus Christ. People were being healed. There were miracles taking place. There was a sovereign move of God in Jerusalem at that time. And it says fear came upon every soul. That means a holy awe came upon people who believed in Jesus and people who didn't. There was an awe. There was a holy awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing every day in the temple with one mind, in one accord, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. That's not just other Christians, but everybody. And the Lord added to the church, I love this. What does it say in your Bible? Daily. Daily, those who are being saved. I'll be honest with you, this scripture is probably the hottest scripture that I read. I read this so much because I live for a vision, because totally dissatisfied of where we are, but wanted to be in another place. You know what I mean? Wanted to be so much further than we actually are. That's actually good, providing you rest in God. Because God has so much more for us as a body. God has so much for his church in this nation. God has so much more he wants to do, and he's going to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
He is going to do it. There's a promise. I love the promise that Jonathan got about his visa. There's a promise that God has given for this nation, that despite how it looks, God has promised that there's going to be an incredible move of the Holy Spirit up and down this land. And I believe that we will see the principles and the life of the Spirit, which is what we're talking about here, that happened in the early church. Do you? I wonder if you believe that this morning. Because God wants us to have a vision of God, of the Holy Spirit, not just touching our own lives, but touching the lives of those around us, and seeing a move of the Holy Spirit that will change towns and cities for Christ. It'll literally shake them. At the moment, we've got a shaking going on. That's a financial shaking, right? God is allowing that, and it will continue to happen. There'll be a shaking because God wants things to be shaken so that those things that cannot be shaken will remain. So there's a purpose in what's going on at the moment. And we can pray about the financial situation, and it's good to pray, but make sure you pray according to God's will. Don't just pray that God will just make everything right, because that may not be what God wants to do. Because my Bible says that he's going to shake everything before he comes back. So that those things that cannot be shaken will remain. So let's make sure we're praying in the right prophetic way so that God will have his way. See, people already who are under financial pressures are beginning to turn to God. Some of them are. They're beginning to turn because some people are in a mess. Because they've gone beyond what they can pay. So this is a great time for the gospel of Jesus to be proclaimed to them, and to see God begin to work miracles for them and actually turn their financial situations around. But God is shaking things. And let's just go back here to verse 42. And we're just going to focus just on these few words here in this verse and just ask some questions, really, about us. You know, verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly." Does anyone have a Bible verse there that says, "And they devoted themselves"? That use the word devoted. If you've got the word devoted, that's a very good way of explaining it. They devoted themselves. God wants a devoted people. God wants us to be devoted, firstly, to him and devoted to his kingdom. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine. Now, if you want to know what the apostles, that's a big mouthful in it, the apostles' doctrine, I'll tell you what it is. It's this. This is the apostles' doctrine. The Bible. The word of God. This is the apostles' doctrine right here. You don't have to add to it because it's all in here. What the apostles, all the apostles taught, you find in here, because this is the written word of God, isn't it? And we teach and we seek to teach people the word of God so that they'll be established in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching. Because when you're taught the word of God with the Spirit of God in there, you'll receive the life of God. Because when the word of God is taught by the Holy Spirit, it'll give you revelation. So the apostles' doctrine is all about, and in these early days, when with all these new Christians coming in, they had to teach the truth. Now, they didn't have the New Testament. It came out of the Old Testament, and it also came out of their spirit. It came from the Holy Spirit. Well, they actually spoke, but they taught the new Christians about Jesus Christ. It was Christ-focused, right? It was Christ-focused. And they were teaching the new Christians who they were in Christ, who they were as believers in Christ. They were sons and daughters of God, and began to explain from the Bible, from the Old Testament, and as they taught them, who they were in Christ Jesus, that God had placed them, as he has with some of you new ones that have become Christians recently. He's placed you into Christ. You're in union, you're joined with Jesus Christ. You're in Christ, and God sees you in him. The picture in the New Testament that Jesus uses is of a vine, that you've been grafted into a vine. And Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And so the apostolic teaching is teaching people about Christ, who he is and what he's done, and also teaching us who we are in him and what God wants to do through us. This is apostolic truth. And you can read about it all in the New Testament. It's wonderful. And it says that these early Christians devoted themselves. And in the Greek, it literally means that they were very intensive. It means to be strong towards something, to be very strong in purpose towards something. And the early Christians were like that. And we need to be people who are very strong towards the Word of God and to devote ourselves fully to the Lord and to the teaching of his Word so that we can become like him, so that we can actually walk in freedom and be equipped to reach people for Christ. Do you agree?
Amen.
Very quiet this morning. This is the truth. And it says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, the word fellowship literally means to share one's life. And I just read the word wealth. Those of you that have a Spirit-filled Bible, we can cheat a little bit this morning. I'm just going to read you what it says in my Bible here. It says, fellowship, from the Greek word koinonia. It means sharing. It means unity. It means close association. It means partnership, participation, a society, a communion, a fellowship.
To give up.
Sorry?
To give up.
To give up.
Together.
Oh, together. Together. Absolutely, yeah, together. Sorry, Les, I didn't understand you. Together. Contributory help. The brotherhood. What else have we got here? A unity brought about by the Holy Spirit. In koinonia, the individual shares in common in intimate bond of fellowship with the rest of the Christian society. Koinonia, fellowship, cements the believers to the Lord Jesus and to each other. Isn't that great? And the early church, when the Holy Spirit moved, what happened was, those 120 disciples that prayed in the upper room before the Holy Spirit came, they had the dealing of God come into their lives. They were actually completely dealt with by God in a very special way as they waited upon the Holy Spirit. God had done something with them and brought them together in prayer. And they were praying one thing, God, send the Holy Spirit, send the Holy Spirit, send the promised Holy Spirit. And I believe God did a number of deep things in their hearts during those days while they were together. And he literally saturated them. And when the day of Pentecost came, it was like being soaked with petrol, soaked with something inflammable. And when the fire of God came into that room on the day of Pentecost, they were set alight. They were set ablaze because they had immersed themselves literally in God in those former days. And we must do the same thing. We have to do the same thing in these days. We need to immerse ourselves in the presence of the Lord, in prayer, in spending time in his presence, in reading the word, in enjoying his love and his fellowship with us at a personal level. So that when the fire, and as the fire comes, will be ignited, will be set ablaze as a whole church.
Amen.
Not just individuals, but as a whole church, will be on fire for God. And fellowship is... Liz, come up here, Liz. I want you to imagine this morning that between me and Liz... come up here, Giovanni. Between me and Liz is Jesus, right? Giovanni is going to be Jesus this morning, okay? Very privileged, okay? And when we have fellowship, the first thing is, I've met with Jesus in my own life. You have too. You've received him into your life. You're born again. You have fellowship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit in prayer. And this is very important. The thing is, I was brought up in church where we had our services and we had our meetings, but there wasn't a lot of what I would call fellowship between people. It was very much just, you know, you go to church and you all disappear afterwards and no one sees anyone for a whole week. Or perhaps people would meet up at a prayer meeting, but beyond that, there was very little else that happened. And that was the norm for many churches. And what God is restoring to the church, as he did on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, he actually brought people into a personal relationship with him and through the word. But then for me to have fellowship with Les, Les has got born again and loves Jesus. And our fellowship is actually through Jesus. So Jesus stands between Les and myself. Does that make sense? I want you to remember this, that when we have fellowship and friendship together, that Jesus is the one that actually brings us into real fellowship. Don't have fellowship outside of Jesus. Have fellowship, I'm talking about as Christians. Jesus is our fellowship. Jesus is the reason why we can love one another.
Amen.
Jesus is standing there between us. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Jesus is standing there between us and actually binds us together in his love. No matter how different we might be.
Amen.
Thank you. That's great. Bless you. And the Lord is wanting to encourage us this morning that he wants us to have a greater fellowship with him and fellowship with one another. Does that make sense? Now, our fellowship with God, we call that prayer. Praying to him. Meeting with him, praying to him, listening to him, reading the Bible, spending time with him. And that's me and the Lord, that's you and the Lord, having that relationship. But fellowship is actually, fellowship with other people is about me and you and somebody else, and somebody else and somebody else, and people and groups. Actually sharing the life of Jesus together. And I'm absolutely convinced that the early church, when the Holy Spirit fell, the Holy Spirit knew what he was doing. And the reason it was so successful was because those believers didn't just have fellowship with God, but they immediately they began to have fellowship with one another. I just want to talk just for a little while about this, because our culture, the culture that we're living in today, is quite different than the culture they were living in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. But the same Holy Spirit will enable us to have a breakthrough in the church in 2008, even though we're living in very different cultures. I mean, the church in Jerusalem actually had quite an advantage. The church in Jerusalem were quite a close-knit community. So when the Holy Spirit moved, it was like a fire that could easily spread, because already there were actually relationships, just human relationships there in Jerusalem in any case. And where we read about revivals and moves of God, very often you'll find that a move of God really, really kicks off and really goes places, especially where there's tight-knit communities of people. And the reason for that is because already there are relationships, right? So what we're believing, what we're asking God for in our society, which we're a very isolated society, really. People live very much on their own, don't they? They go off to work, they come home. Some of them don't even know who their neighbours are. What God wants to do is he wants to do an even greater work through the Holy Spirit in our culture and in our time. Because the fact is that we may live in a community, but most people in a community don't know one another. And so the Holy Spirit wants to do an incredible work. Who's he going to do it through?
Us.
He's going to do it through us. And it's going beyond just being nice to one another, loving to one another, just, you know, being nice people. God doesn't want nice Christians. He wants Christians full of fire. He wants believers who have fire and faith in their bellies and who are sharing his love with one another.
Amen.
And that kind of fellowship is actually infectious and actually witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I'll give you a great example, all right? When we have started this new group round at Rady's on a Thursday evening, with all these people traipsing through this little block of flats, top, they go upstairs, round up another flight of stairs. And what's happening in this block of flats is people are beginning to realise, what's going on here? You know, where are all these people coming from? And they're beginning to recognise these are Christians. These are people who love Jesus. And they don't just love Jesus, but they love one another too. And it's beginning to spread. Does this make sense? And God wants us to really put ourselves out there for him to use us as we have fellowship together. What is fellowship? What's another way of saying about fellowship? Fellowship is friendship. Fellowship is friendship, or should be. If we're going to have fellowship with one another, we need to have friendship. We had a chap, can't remember his name now, but I talked at a leaders' day at the NRC the other week, Australian guy, wonderful what he said. He talked about friendship, fun, and Sarah remembered it, food. Now, if you look in the New Testament, that's biblical. In the New Testament, the early Christians, full of the Holy Spirit, full of God's love, they were very good at friendship. They were very good at, what was the other one? Sharing fun. They actually had fun together. And they had food. And they prayed. And I think what God wants to do with us, he wants to restore something to us, or he wants to put something more into us. It's not that we don't have it, but we need to have it in a greater way as a church. That we need to have friendship, we need to have fun, we need to have more food, and we need to continue to pray. We need to have more prayer, actually, in the church as well. And you put all those things together, and you'll have a move of God. You'll have a move of God in an area, or around a house, or in a block of flats, in Crawley, in East Quincy, wherever it is that we meet together. When we spend time in prayer, when we spend time in the Word of God, when we spend time in having fellowship with God and the Holy Spirit, what does that take?
Time.
It takes time. And what's the thing that the devil most attacks us with in our present culture and state of things? Time. Time and tide waits for no man. So our biggest enemy is busyness, of being so busy that you end up that your personal relationship suffers. And it's not just your relationship with God that suffers, but also it's actually your relationship with people you live with, people around you. It suffers because of a lack of, we're all so busy. So what's got to change?
Us.
And how are we going to change? And how are we going to do that? Pardon? They're both speaking at once. Go on, Victor. Praying, yeah, and?
Good planning.
Good one. Praying and good planning. What else can we do to change the thing of where we're at the moment?
Sacrifice.
What does that mean? Sacrifice. Sacrifice what? Invite people over instead of doing something for yourself at home. Oh, it's getting a little bit warm in here, isn't it? What else can we do to increase that sense of fellowship of God between us?
Read the Bible.
Read our Bible, set our priorities. Pardon? Yeah.
Greater understanding
of what? Okay. Knowing God in his and his heart, because his heart is for us to actually function together and move together. Anything else, any practical things here that
tell
we can
everyone about Jesus.
Tell everyone about Jesus? A good phone contract. See, we do have advantages today, is that you can't say, well, Pete Rowlandson lives over in Slimfold, it's a little long way to go, isn't it? Well, text him, encourage him, ring him. And even if he's too busy, Even if he's too busy, you can do something about it and change the whole sense of fellowship. Because I believe that God is addressing this in the church today. And he's saying, you won't move forward until you deal with this. Two things he's saying, if you can take this, it's prayer, our own prayer, our relationship with God. Then our prayer lives, that's meeting with others to pray together regularly. And the other thing is fellowship. We have to make room, we have to make time. Have you discovered that you'll do the things that you really want to do? Even though you might be under incredible pressures, you still end up doing some of the things, at least, that you'd like to do. You find time for it. It's funny, isn't it? You find time for those things that really matter. Well, God matters. This church matters. Prayer matters. Fellowship matters. And God wants us to let the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to make any plans or things this morning. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to us in our hearts so that he can make the plans and decisions about what works and what doesn't work. But, you know, making the use of time. Sundays is a great time because Sunday we meet here in the morning, so we meet with God, we meet with one another. What do you do when you leave the service here? Eat. So do you eat on your own? Do you eat just with you as a family? What do you do in your eating? Eat on our own. So there's some area that we can change, because some people are meeting very regularly now. It's great in the church, and they regularly open their homes up and say, anyone free, please come around. We're going to have a shared lunch together. Fantastic. Or you might just feel prompted to go up to someone afterwards. It's quite spontaneous, and say, come back and have lunch with me. But we have to start making sacrifices by thinking not about ourselves, but how can I be a blessing to others? Amen. How can I increase the fellowship of Jesus? Because that's what it's about, the relationship of Jesus with other people. Because if we just live for meetings, we're going to miss a whole host of other things. Does this make sense? Am I making sense this morning? And I wasn't quite sure how I was going to say this, how I was going to put it into words. But all I know is that the early church, it says that they had the apostles' teaching, very, very important truth, that is, biblical truth. They had revelation about the truth of God. So they knew who they were, they knew who Jesus was. And then they prayed a lot, and they had a lot of fellowship. And we read there that they broke bread from house to house. Now that means it wasn't just a house group. It means that people were literally going to other people's homes and having meals together, and they would break bread together at the same time. They'd break bread, that's what Jesus did, that's what the Last Supper was, a meal, the Passover meal, but they broke bread and they drank the wine at the end of the meal. And we can do the same thing, not in a religious way, so I suggest you don't do it at every meal that you have, but it's something that we don't do a lot of, and we should be doing a lot more of. When we have meals together, we celebrate what Jesus has done for us by breaking bread, and when we finish the meal, by taking the cup and celebrating the new covenant of his blood. Amen.
Amen.
And we can, you say, well, I can't, you know, some of you can't do that because perhaps you have an unsaved partner, but there are opportunities that we have with other Christians where we can do that. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit to open up these areas where we can start having more times of fellowship,
Amen.
More times of prayer, and it'll cost us. It'll cost all of us something more for this to work. Just thought I'd tell you that. It will cost us something. It won't just come on a plate. It won't just happen. It will come as we all devote ourselves to the Lord in a greater way and to one another. Hallelujah. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came. It says, then fear came. That means an awe, a holy awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. There's something the Holy Spirit wants to do that only he can do, but he'll do it with us when we come to him with an open heart and willing heart. He'll come and begin to transform our hearts so that his desires become our desires. What he wants becomes what we want. Does it make sense?
Amen.
And so that we begin to want to see these things that we read about in Acts chapter 2, not just something as a historical fact 2,000 years ago, but we're opening our homes up, we're going to other people's homes, we're breaking bread, we're having fellowship, we're having fun, right? We're having friendship, and we're having some food as well. And we're really getting to know one another outside of just a church meeting. And that's called the life of the Spirit. That's the life of Jesus moving in the church. And this is what God wants for every single one of us. Now, there's some people in this church are rotten at getting here on time, but great at opening their homes up. Some people are great at getting here on time and not so good at opening their homes up. We've all got to change. That's what I'm saying this morning. We've all got to change and let the Holy Spirit come and make that sacrifice of, I'm committed, Lord, I'm dedicated, I'm devoted to you. This is all about Jesus. I'm devoted to you. I want to be devoted to the apostles, to the teaching of the truth. I want to give my life completely to you, Jesus. It's not about me, it's all about you. Who cares a thing about who I am and what I am? Just know that I'm a son of God and a child of God, and do the things that God's asked you to do. And then the second thing to be concerned about is other people. And what happens is you begin then to forget about yourself. And that's the greatest liberation that we all need. To lose sight of ourselves and have a fresh glimpse of Jesus. And, you know, when the church was living in this order, in this life of the Spirit, daily, it says, they met daily. Well, I don't know how all of us in this room couldn't possibly meet every day. But it says that they did something. There was something that happened daily. So I'm just saying, God, at least give us the first step then, how we can do something daily. Even if it's that I meet with one other person for prayer. But the early church had a daily thing happening. It happened every day. There was something happening in the church. Yep, yep. And it says that their lifestyle was one of breaking bread from house to house. And you think, goodness, how could that work in today's, in our busy lives today? How could that possibly fit in? I believe God will help us. I believe the Holy Spirit will help us and will show us ways in which we can begin to change. And it may be a small way for you and a small way for someone else, but if you take that right through the bodies, as we all sacrifice something for God, I believe there's going to be an increase of the Spirit in our prayer life together, in our fellowship together, in our fun together, in food together. Amen.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Help us to become like the early church. Not to copy them. I mean, I could stand at the front here and we could have a chart and put everyone in carefully selected groups and this is when you need to meet and this is how you need to do it. But it wouldn't do a jot. It wouldn't do anything. But if we let the Holy Spirit come in what we're already doing and some new things that the Holy Spirit's actually beginning to lead us to do, as we say, Holy Spirit, I just want to be available to you. I want to devote myself to you, Lord, and to others in this church, other Christians, so that the fellowship of Jesus amongst us will increase and that people will begin to see Jesus in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand, shall we? Let's stand up and... Hallelujah, Jesus.
The reason I said daily bread is part of our Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Giovanni, come and play there. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands to the Lord as we're in his presence this morning. And just offer yourself up. That's all you can do. Just offer yourself up afresh to the Lord this morning. He's not going to ask you to do something that you cannot do. But the Holy Spirit wants to speak to each one of us this morning about fellowship, about our walk with God, making that time for him, and then making time for others so that we can have fellowship, we can have friendship, we can have fun, we can have food, we can see the church built up in love, and then begin to do things that God directs you to do concerning others in the church. Sending them a text, going around to visit them just out of the blue, just being prompted by God. Send them a card, phoning someone, calling on people. But this church needs to be about the Lord and about one another. And he wants to deepen that. He wants to strengthen that so that we know that when I met Jerry, I met Jesus. When I sat down with James, I met Jesus. When we had a cup of coffee around the cafe, as we did the other morning, and met Alistair there, rejoicing in his baby daughter, I met Jesus in him. Visiting people when they're struggling, when they're down and out, and putting an arm around them and praying for them, that's fellowship. That's Jesus. And the Lord wants us to be such a church that his spirit of love is literally oozing out of us, that we can't help but reach out to others in the church and others who aren't in the church too, with that love of God. We have an opportunity in our life here to let the Holy Spirit come and make us church and people who learn how to pray and fellowship together in his name. Just offer yourself to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I'm available. Speak to me. Holy Spirit, come and take control of my clock, of my time, of my energy. I will direct it in the right way. Lord Jesus, today I devote myself afresh to you, to your kingdom, to you in prayer, Lord, to make time to meet with you, to receive from you. And today, Lord, I devote myself to serve others, to bless others, to love others, to heal others, to think about others more than I think about myself. Wash me and cleanse me, Jesus, by your precious blood, from every selfish thought. Anything concerning me, wash it away, Lord, in your precious blood. I want to serve you. I want to serve others today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Jesus.